Turn in your Bibles tonight, if you would, to the book of Jude. Once again, the book of Jude. Robert F. Kennedy. He was born in 1925. He was assassinated in 1968. He was the brother of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, who was the president. But Robert F. Kennedy once made a statement. Here's what he said. He said, "You see things and you say, why? But I dream of things that never were and say, why not?" That's a pretty good quote. Actually, it didn't originate with him. It actually was a quote that was taken from George Bernard Shaw. But that's the quote. I dream of things that never were and say why not? Another fellow, President Woodrow Wilson. He served from 1913 to 1921. And he is quoted as saying, "All big men are dreamers." I guess little men are too, but no, he's not talking about that. He's talking about men who become great, men who rise to great heights, men who accomplish great things. If you stop and think about it, nothing great has ever been accomplished by accident. You ever think about that? The president or the CEO of some great company, he didn't wake up one morning and say, "Whoa, where did this come from?" You know. No, it started with a what? With a dream, right? And he began working toward the fulfilling of that dream. And when you see some great thing that has been accomplished, mark it down. It's there because somebody had a dream. Somebody had a dream. Now, there's another side to this fact. There's another side to this fact, and let me give you 2 points here by way of introduction. There are some who dream up wickedness. There are some who dream up wickedness. I'm talking about wickedness for themselves. Wickedness for themselves. The psalmist wrote about it. In the book of Psalm 36, in verse number 4, the psalmist said this. He said, "He that deviseth mischief upon his bed, he setteth himself in a way that is not good, he abhorreth not evil." In other words, the psalmist is talking about the man who cannot sleep at night. He sits up in his bed and he is dreaming, he is thinking about what kind of mischief he can get involved in. And the reason he does that is because he does not hate evil as he should. That's why he does that. There are some who dream up wickedness. There are some, number two, who dream up mischief. The one who dreams up wickedness, he's dreaming up something that he can do. The one who dreams up mischief, he's dreaming up something he can get somebody else to do. The wise man spoke of this in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 16. He's speaking of these kind of people, and he said, "They sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall." In other words, they can't sleep at night for thinking about, dreaming up some way that they can lead other people astray and cause them to fall into sin. And that is exactly the kind of thing that we have been seeing in our study in the book of Jude. You remember over the past 3 weeks now, we've been talking about the high cost of bad leadership. The high cost of bad leadership. We saw Jude's description of those wicked leaders back in verse number 4. You remember we saw that these are men who deny the lordship of Jesus Christ. These are men who, because they deny His Lordship, they pollute the doctrine of God's grace. Because they pollute the doctrine of God's grace, they become ungodly in their lifestyle. And because they are ungodly in their lifestyle, they will one day face the condemnation and the judgment of God. But some may say, well, Jude, how do you know for sure? How do you know for sure that these false teachers, these people who lead others astray, how do you know for sure that they are truly going to face the condemnation and the judgment of God? And you remember we saw the answer to that question in verse 5 when Jude said, I will therefore put you in remembrance. I'm going to remind you of some things. That's what he was saying. I'm going to remind you of some things. And so as we came through those verses, you remember we saw Jude going back into the Old Testament Scriptures and pulling out three historical events to illustrate the fact that those who lead others astray, those who give bad leadership, that God is truly going to deal with them. God is truly going to judge them. You remember we saw how that those leaders, Jude showed us the leaders that lead men in rebellion against God. He talked first of all about the nation of Israel and the 10 spies, you remember, that led the nation of Israel in rebellion against God. And then he went over and he talked about the angels, you remember, who did not keep their place. Those angels that did not keep their first estate. And in Genesis chapter 6, he dealt with those angels there. And then you remember we saw the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you remember we learned that whether it is a person, an individual, or whether it is an angel, or whether it is a society, those who lead people astray are going to suffer under the judgments of God. They're going to suffer under the judgments of God. But not only that, those who allow themselves to be led astray, those who foolishly follow after bad leaders without checking them according to the Word of God, they also are going to suffer God's judgments. They're going to suffer God's judgments as well. That's why we need to be like those Berean believers. Remember in Acts 17:11? They heard the preaching of the apostles. They listened to the Word of God. They received it with a readiness of mind. But then the Bible says they searched the Scriptures daily to make sure what they heard was right. What they heard was right. They searched the Scriptures. And so in verse number 8, he says, likewise also. Likewise also. Obviously, this introduction takes us back to the previous paragraph. And here we're going to see Jude showing us why certain leaders will rise up to lead others into sin and rebellion against God. And the reason is found when we consider the character. The character of wicked leaders. The character of wicked leaders. As we look at this together this evening, two main thoughts that I want us to notice. First of all, I want you to consider, number one, their character stated. How would you state the character of these wicked leaders? Well, in verse number 8, he says, likewise also these filthy dreamers. These filthy dreamers. Notice that these are not dreamers of good things. These are not men who dream up righteousness. Rather, these are men who dream up things that instead of honoring God will dishonor God. These are filthy dreamers who dream up things that are contrary to all that is good and right and holy. They're filthy dreamers. Also notice that the word filthy, if you If you have a King James Bible, you'll notice that the word filthy is in italics. It's in italics. In other words, it's not found in the Greek text, but it was added by the translators to give clarity. And when you look in the context of where this verse is found, you'll see that the translators were absolutely right in referring to them as filthy dreamers. You'll see that they were absolutely right. Let me give you 3 points about these filthy dreamers. First of all, they love evil. Letter A. They love evil. The Apostle Paul clearly stated their loyalty to evil in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 32 when he said this. He said, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Now notice what this verse says. These wicked men, they love evil to the point that they do evil themselves. They do things that are worthy of death themselves, but they're not satisfied with that. If I'm a... Now, I don't want to use myself because some of you will think I'm one of those filthy dreamers. If I'm a filthy dreamer, I will enjoy sinning, but that's not enough. I want to make Brother Luke join with me in my sin. And Brother Tim. And these guys. And Brother Allen too. And it would really be fun to get Pastor Moore. All right? See, that's a filthy dreamer. Filthy dreamer not only delights in doing sin himself, he delights in getting other people to join with them in their sin. They love evil. Not only that, they hate righteousness. They hate righteousness. This is clearly seen in the list of character traits that the Apostle Paul outlines in Romans chapter 1, verse 29 and following. Here's what he said. He said, "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers." You know what whisperers are, right? Basically, they're gossips. They're going, pss, 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 pss. "Did you hear about..." Pss, 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 pss. Yeah, whisperers. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors... Notice it. Inventors of evil things. What does that sound like? Filthy dreamers, right? Yeah, there's your filthy dreamers. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable. That simply means you can't reconcile with them. They're stubborn. You can't deal with them. They are unmerciful. That's the character traits. And right in the middle of all of that, we're told these are the filthy dreamers. These are men. Not only do they love evil, they hate righteousness. But then there's a third thing that we need to understand about these filthy dreamers, and that is this. They deny reality. They deny reality. J. Vernon McGee, in his commentary, he wrote this. He said concerning these men, they are dreamers. They live in an unreal world. A world that does not exist. Liberals are dreamers in the sense that they will not face up to reality. That's what J. Vernon McGee said. A classic example of what he's talking about is seen in a song. You've probably heard it on the radio. A song by John Lennon of the Beatles. Back in 1971, he wrote a song called Imagine. And I'm going to sing it for you. No, I'm not going to sing it. But I'm going to give you the lyrics. Here's what he said in his song, Imagine. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. And then the chorus goes like this. You may say, I'm a dreamer. No, I didn't say that. Jude did. But anyway, you may say, I'm a dreamer. But I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us. And the world will live as one. Isn't that sweet? That's a filthy dreamer, folks. That's a filthy dreamer. You see, these filthy dreamers imagine there's no heaven, they imagine there's no hell, and they live in a fantasy world because the Bible makes it very clear there is a heaven and there is a hell, and it's eternal. And these men, these filthy dreamers, live in a world where they have convinced themselves that they can rebel against God without consequence. They've convinced themselves they can ignore God's Word without facing God's judgments. In other words, they have swallowed hook, line, and sinker. You understand that phrase? They've swallowed everything except the fishermen. They've swallowed the whole line that Satan gave to Eve in the Garden of Eden when he said, ye shall not surely die. Go ahead. Eat the fruit. God said don't eat it, but it's okay. Go ahead. You really won't die. Yeah, go ahead. Eat it. But when they open their eyes in hell, that's the tragedy. When they open their eyes in hell, they will realize how foolish they have been and how they were deceived by their own filthy dreams. That's the wicked leaders. We see their character. Their character is stated. They are filthy. They are filthy dreamers. But then notice number two, we see their character is revealed. The character of filthy dreamers is revealed by the things they do. By the way, that's true in all of our lives. Your character, what you really are, will be revealed by what you do, by the choices that you make. And so their character is revealed by the things they do. And Jude is going to make his point by referring back to those illustrations that we saw over the past couple of weeks. He's going to go back and revisit that. And he's going to refer back to those things, and he's going to use those illustrations to show us the character revealed of these filthy dreamers. Now notice, first of all, letter A, they defile. They defile. Verse number 8, likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. They defile the flesh. This takes us back to those wicked men of Sodom and Gomorrah, back in verse number 7. They defiled the flesh. They defile their flesh by going after the sexual perversion that many are still advocating today as being an acceptable alternative lifestyle. Homosexuality. They are perverting that which God made to be clean and pure and good. One such filthy dreamer, a fellow by the name of John McNeil, in 1976 wrote a book entitled The Church and the Homosexual. the church and the homosexual. The book is advertised. Here's the advertisement. A theologically and ethically enlightened attempt to demonstrate the intellectual baselessness of current attitudes and policies concerning homosexuality. In other words, that's a nice way of saying, if you believe it's a sin, you're stupid. That's what he said. If you believe that that's a sin, then it just shows you're not educated and you're just a dummy. Okay? He claims in his book, as he attacks the traditional and biblical position on gay and lesbian relationships, he gives three perverted ideas through his book. I've given you the website there. You can go and look at it for yourself. But basically, he claims that there is no clear condemnation. In the Bible, he says, there is no clear condemnation of loving homosexual relationships. Now, obviously, this man has never seriously read the Bible. And he certainly has never read Leviticus 18:22 and Leviticus 20:13 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. He's clearly missed those passages of Scripture. He continues by saying this, and I quote, "Homosexual orientation has no necessary connection with sin, sickness, or failure. Rather, it is a gift from God to be accepted and lived out with gratitude." He claims, number two, he claims that homosexuals have a special gift. They have special qualities that can make positive contributions to society. He says this, I quote, "If lesbians and gay men were to disappear, the further development of society toward greater humaneness would be seriously endangered." I don't know what he bases that on, but that's what he said. That's what he said. He also, number three, claims the love between lesbians and gay men is not sinful. In fact, it can be, according to him, it can be, I quote, a holy love, mediating God's presence in the human community as effectively as heterosexual love. The man's a filthy dreamer. He's a filthy dreamer. And by the way, because of filthy dreamers just like him, in October of 2011, just last year, October of 2011, the Presbyterian Church of the United States of America ordained its first openly gay pastor. And they did it in the Covenant Presbyterian Church in Madison, Wisconsin. And that's a fact. Filthy dreamers. Filthy dreamers. They defile. Number two, they despise. They despise. In verse number 8, Jude said, "Likewise also these filthy dreamers," notice it, "they despise dominion." They despise dominion. This takes us back to those angels who refused to keep their place. They refused to submit to the place that God had ordained for them. Back in verse number 6, we saw them. And they went against God's natural laws. They went against God's boundaries by joining with women. And the reason for their sin is here identified for us. It was simply because they despised, they hated God's authority. Filthy dreamers do the same thing today. Filthy dreamers today say, nobody's going to tell me how to live my life. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to invade my space. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what the church says. I'm going to do what I want to do. And because these false teachers despise the authority of God's Word, and because they will not submit themselves to God, they shall be destroyed themselves. And sadly, they lead others to destruction as well. They despise. Let her see, they disregard. They disregard. In verse number 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers speak evil of dignities. In other words, they speak low of high things. You see that a lot these days, don't you? People speak low of things that are high, and they think it's cool. They think it's clever. Ginger and I were in a Christian bookstore the other day, and just some of the plaques that they had on display were just, in my opinion, right on the verge of being blasphemous. Talking about our Lord like He's a good old boy, you know. He's my buddy. No, he's the Creator God of heaven, and you better treat Him with the dignity that He deserves. Don't you speak evil. Don't you speak low of that which is high. That's what filthy dreamers do. That's what filthy dreamers do. They speak evil of dignities. Of course, this takes us back, remember back in verse number 5. This takes us back to those 10 evil spies who were not afraid. They were not afraid to speak evil of the Lord God. They said, yes, God has given us the promise. And yes, God said we can go in and take this land. But you know what? We don't believe God is being honest with us. And they spoke evil. They spoke evil of the Lord God. Spoke evil of the Lord God. They would not do what He said. They would not listen to His commandment or obey. Either way, you know what they did? They questioned the character of God. They questioned the power of God. They spoke evil of that which was high. Now we're given a contrast to this. Notice it in verse number 9. Jude writes this. He says, yet Michael, you remember, is the archangel whose job, it appears from Scripture, is to watch over Israel. He's always associated with the nation of Israel. The Bible says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending, notice it, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Now, this event that Jude mentions here, this dispute over the body of Moses, it's not mentioned in the Bible. It's not mentioned in the Scriptures, but Jewish tradition. And there is an apocryphal book called The Assumption of Moses, which you have to kind of take with a grain of salt. But in their tradition and in this apocryphal book, it tells the story that when Moses died, you remember God told Moses, you go up on the mountain, you die, and I'm going to bury you. And according to the tradition, Satan tried to bring the body of Moses down and give it to the people of Israel so that they would worship Moses instead of worshiping God. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But what I do know is true is that there was a battle over the body of Moses. Jude tells us so. There was a battle over the body of Moses, and yet I want you to notice that even in that battle, Michael did not bring accusations against Satan in the way that false teachers bring accusations against God. That's the point. Even in the battle, Michael, the archangel, did not speak to Satan the way Satan's ministers speak about God. You see, the false teachers of today are just like Job's friends. The Bible says in Job 42, verse 7, the Lord is talking to the friends of Job who have come to, quote, unquote, comfort him. In Job 42, 7, and it was so that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee. Now, when God's mad at you, you're in trouble, right? When God is angry with you, you're in trouble. Why was God angry? Why was God angry with this man? Listen to it. He says, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. And here's the reason why. God said, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right. How you talk about God, how we represent God, it's a serious thing. And false teachers are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. They're not afraid to speak low concerning things that are holy. And so Jude has given us a very clear picture of those false teachers who are used of Satan to lead men astray. Notice four observations that I would like to just mention in conclusion. Number one, they are wicked men. These false teachers, I don't care how slick they look, I don't care what kind of pulpit they stand behind, don't even care what kind of Bible they carry, they're wicked men. They're wicked men. They defile themselves, number two. They defile themselves. Number three, they despise God's law. They despise God's law. Number four, they disregard God's character. They speak of Him in a way that is not right. May God help us to beware of those types of teachers. May God help us to understand the things that Jude is sharing with us so that we will not be deceived by them or foolishly follow after them to our own hurt and to our own destruction. May God help us to follow those things that are right, those things that are true. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word. We pray.